happen. You know, he knew what was going to be around the next turn. He knew what was coming up. And so God the Father dealt with my heart in that still small voice of, what if my son Jesus said, I can't go? Where would you be, Wayne? You would be without a Savior. You would be without a way to get to heaven. And so I came out with my hands up and I repented of my selfishness and I repented of my materialism and all the things that I thought was holding me. And when I tried to give the excuse about my wife and my children, the Lord basically dealt with me. Some people say, how do you operate, Brother Wayne? I say, I operate on the kiss factor. Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it down on my level there. Where did you get the wife? Well, you gave it to me, Lord. Or where did you get those children? Well, you gave them to me, Lord. Well, you don't think I can take care of your wife? You don't think I can take care of your children? Well, I said all that to tell you this, that God is a great multitasker. Now, at that time, it was getting time to try to, on deputation, and get ready to go to Papua New Guinea after I surrendered. At that time, in 1991, Sister Sue and I have been married 51 years. Well, we had our oldest son, Jeremy, who was at that time 15 years old. Well, he had all his school friends, and he had everybody that he knew here in America. And on one side of the coin, he said, I guess if God's called Dad to go to Papua New Guinea, I guess I have to go. One side it was this way, another side it was this way. Lo and behold, I was told, as a bush missionary setting up in the jungle of Papua New Guinea, you need to have about $25,000 to $30,000 to start out, because you're going to have to buy a water tank, you're going to have to buy a generator, you're going to have to buy a truck, and you're going to have to set up in the bush. Well, I didn't know where I was going to get this money, but I was on deputation. I just knew that God had called me, and he gave me a verse of scripture in John chapter 15, verse 16, where Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Well, lo and behold, to make a long story short, I was using the Datsun pickup truck. Little Datsun pickup truck of the associate pastor, Jordan Enterbrand. And I said to him, I need to use this. One of the fellows in the church, the neighboring church, he has a shower stall needs to be installed, and I need to make some money because I'm in between meetings. He said, Brother Wayne, you're glad to use my truck. It'll be sitting here in the church parking lot. I carpooled down to Savannah, Georgia. I don't need to pick up truck. Oh, yeah. And by the way, if something happens, make sure you tow to it because I don't want to pay for payments. And so I finished the job. I told the men of the church, you meet me at the church at 6:30. I'll be going to the jail. And if you want to go to the jail with me, meet me at 6:30. It was 5 o'clock in December, and I was coming up the road. It was already getting dark in December at 5 o'clock. Well, I happened to see on the tar and chip road, I happened to see some headlights on a turn. I dimmed the headlights on the little pickup truck, but the headlights disappeared. On the turn, the next thing I saw was the broadside of the South Carolina State Trooper car sliding at me. I ate the steering wheel. My palate was broken. My face was bleeding. My teeth had been in braces. They came out in a big wire chunk. My hip was busted. My kneecap was partially cut. And my elbow had disjointed and was back here. It was a young highway patrolman, 24 years old. He had another policeman's car. He was not even on a call. He was running it in excess of 80 miles an hour. One of the paramedic men in our church, Harold Schreckengast, said, I seen the speedometer, Wayne. It stuck at 80. Within 5 days, the 24-year-old highway patrolman who had been married 2 months, He died in the Savannah hospital. And I lived. My head was big as a basketball. My brother had come up from Florida to see me. The nurse said, "He's in that room down there." My brother went in the room. He looked, went back to the nurse's station and said, "That's not my brother in there." She goes, "That's your brother." My own brother didn't recognize me. My head was so big. My teeth were all gone. Smelled, as we say in Pennsylvania, smelled like a dead groundhog. But you know, God was multitasking. While the wreck had happened and the blood was coming out of my face, I remember in 1979 going to a meeting in Charleston, South Carolina, and listened to Brother Lester Roloff preach. And Brother Lester Roloff, in his message, he said, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever took God by surprise?" As I was bleeding that night in the vehicle, I was searching my heart. "Lord, what kind of sin is in my life that this has happened? I'm trying to get to Papua New Guinea." And the Lord basically came up with nothing, came up in my heart. And I said, "Well, Lord, I don't understand, but if you want me to go, I'll go." I was very scared. I thought I was going to die. Blood coming out my face. And then all of a sudden, when I said, "Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go," a peace came over me that passes all understanding. And the song of Fanny Crosby came alive. I remember my mother saying, you know, my mother, I was the last of nine children. She knew a lot about children. My mother saying, "Oh, these girls passing this baby around in here, and there's a fellowship going on. They need to give that baby to the mother." And I remember saying to my mother, why is the baby crying? She said, "Listen, if they give the baby to the mother will pull the baby close to her bosom, and that baby will smell that mother's breast and will just relax." And so it came alive for me that night. And I said, "Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go." And it was just like the Lord took me close and held me. Safe in the arms of Jesus. I was safe in the arms of Jesus. Brother Jordan said to me, "Oh, so you knew you were going to live." I said, "No, I didn't know I was going to live. I just knew it was okay." Yeah. Whatever God wants. Well, there, the great God of multitasking, while he was dealing with me, bleeding, broken up, who had previously been a sergeant in the Marine Corps and a two-miler in the high school track team, now was all busted up. And you see your calling, brother, and how that not many noble, but God had chosen the weak, the broken down things. God allows us sometimes to be broken up so that he can get the glory, because if we went to Papua New Guinea as a whole man who had never been busted up, we would take the glory and say, "I did this for you, Lord." The great two-miler. I climbed all the mountains of Papua New Guinea as a sergeant in the Marine Corps. That's junk. Did you know Pastor Baker called Sister Sue and said, "Sister Sue, there's been a terrible wreck. I'm going to come and get you and take you to the hospital." She said, "Yeah, I heard the joke." Brother Jordan said, "If he wrecked the truck to make sure he totaled it, that's just a joke, Pastor." Pastor said, "It's not a joke. He's in the hospital. We don't know if he'll live or not." She said, "I'll go right now." The oldest son, Jeremy, now at 15 years old, who said he would go, but in his heart, it was The Lord worked on that 15-year-old boy's heart. And he got broke down and wept and cried and said, God, if you'll let my dad live, I'll go to Papua New Guinea with a happy heart. And so God worked on the 15-year-old son's heart at the same time that God took care of putting me back together in the hospital and going from a wheelchair to a walker. And they were going to throw me out of the hospital because I didn't have insurance, health insurance. And so the manager of the hospital talked to Pastor Baker and said, you need to get your church member an attorney because the Highway Patrol Insurance Company said, we don't know what we can do about Mr. Fair. The sooner you get him out of this hospital, the sooner we can talk about his bill. She goes, he's too badly hurt to release him from this hospital. My pastor had to go get a lawyer in Charleston, South Carolina, and everybody got real nice then. And I could stay as long as I wanted. And anyhow, the lawyer said to me, the insurance company, they've offered this amount to you. Your hospital bills are around $100,000, rebuilding your face and putting your hip back together and putting your elbow back together. And your hospital bill is over around $100,000. And I think we should take them to court and sue them for $500,000. Most of the cases like this in your bad situation would be $500,000 to $700,000. I said, well, what did they say? They say they only want to offer you about $300,000. So by the time we pay the hospital bill and attorney fees, you'll have about $150,000 to $170,000. I said, listen, we just need to thank God we're alive. I don't care about this lawsuit. I need to get to Papua New Guinea. And so the Lord took care of the 25 to 30,000 to set up in the bush of Papua New Guinea. The Lord took care of the son that was 15 that had a problem. And now the son will turn 50 this year and just graduated last Sunday from Brother James Knox's Bible school in the land. Yes, the Lord doeth all things well. Today's message is, will you invest in God's field? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I said all that to help you understand that yes, you may have physical impairments after a bad car accident. But I try to encourage people, young people especially, you need to make yourself available. I don't care if your face has been busted and rebuilt or not. You need to say, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I was going to have the sister play it on the piano, but we don't have, for the sake of time, I'm just going to blow my horn for you. And the title is, I'll go where you want me to go. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. You know, if it would have been nothing more than saving your wretched soul and my wretched soul and letting us go to heaven, that would have been enough. But God says, no, I'm going to save your soul. I'm going to let you go to heaven. And while you're here on this earth, I'm going to let you invest in my field and work. And work in my field. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 38, today's message is investing in God's field. The field is the world. Matthew 13:38. Jesus said, the field is the world and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Well, if the good seed are the children of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom are the ones that are going to heaven. And those that are going to hell, but the tares are weeds. They are the children of the wicked one. The enemy soweth them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Well, it's not going to be very long. It is going to be the end of the world. We're living in the last day. And so I want you to understand tonight, today, this afternoon, I'm not going to hold you all night. No. Did God invest in this world? Question mark. Point number one. Did God invest in this world? He was the first one to invest. He invested in this world. For God so what? For God so loved that he did what? He gave. He gave what? He gave what Abraham was willing to give. What was Abraham willing to give? His only son, thine only son. And therefore God Almighty said, Abraham, you're going to be my friend. Because what you are willing to do, I will do. I will do for the sake of all the sinners in this world. I'm going to send him a Savior. He's going to be the first great missionary to leave the streets of gold. He's going to come down here to planet Earth. And though he was rich, yet he's going to become poor for your sake. He knows people will spit on him. He knows people will strip him naked. He knows people were going to nail him to an old rugged cross. And he said, no man takes my life. I lay down my life for the sheep. And so did God invest, point number one. Yes, he did invest. Yes, look at that. Not only was it John 3:16, but let in your Bible, let us look at Romans chapter 5. Now, we're not going to dilly-dally around because Brother Wayne is also a bush pilot, so we're going to fly. So take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter number 5, and let us see what the Scriptures have to say in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Scripture says that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ for, he died for who? The ungodly. No, he didn't die for the elect and the godly. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, God invested in us. Yes. Some people would have said, leave him alone, leave her alone, don't waste your time with them. But God saw potential in us and continued to convict us by his Holy Spirit until we got saved. What a blessing. God invested in us, the ungodly, the sinners of this world. And notice he goes on to continue to say in Ephesians chapter number, I almost went to pigeon and said to turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Notice what Paul has to say here. He says, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles, you Christians at Ephesus, you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. You're called the uncircumcised by the circumcised Jews. Those Jews that are circumcised in the flesh, made by hands. Verse 12, and that at that time you were with, what? And at that time, you people at Ephesus, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. We had no hope because we had no Savior. We were outside the commonwealth of Israel. We were had no hope, and we were what? Without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, you're made what? You're made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he, Jesus, is our peace. What a blessing. We have peace. Well, God invested in you and me, sinners of this world. And now God says, you know what? I want you to get involved in missions. Why? Because missions is the heartbeat of God. He was the first one that sacrificed for the sake of a bunch of sinners. He was the first one that sacrificed. And I want you to notice, point number two, who owns this world? Who owns this world? Now, some would say, oh, the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, talking about the devil, little G-O-D. But that is the devil, the God of this world. He doesn't own this world. Well, let us look at our scriptures. Who owns this world? Who owns this world? God Almighty owns this world. Let us look at Psalms chapter 24. Turn quickly to Psalms chapter 24 as we fly along through our Bible. And let us look and see what Psalms chapter 24 has to say in the words of David. And David spoke these words and he said in verse number 1 of Psalms chapter 24 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world. Oh, it looks like the world belongs to the Lord too, doesn't it? The world and they that dwell in therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Well, there he says, the earth is the Lord's. Not only does he say it there, but he says it in Psalms chapter 50. As you look at Psalms chapter 50, quickly turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 50 and look at verse number 1. The mighty God, even the Lord hath spoken and called from the earth. And he hath called the earth from rising of the sun, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. And for the sake of time, look at verse number 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify. This is God speaking. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. And then for the sake of time, look at verse number 10. For every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The world is his. Yeah, the world is his. And then he goes on to say that if he was hungry, he wouldn't tell them.
because everything on this earth, as old Brother Lester Olas used to say, God owns the cattle on the thousand hills, and he owns all the gold under those hills too. And so let us go to point number three and look at this. How does God's investment program go forward? How does God's investment program? Point number one was, did God invest in the world? Yes, he did. He was the first one to invest. Point number two was, who owns this world? God of heaven owns it, the God Almighty. And point number three is, how does God's investment program go forward? It goes forward by sacrifice. You know, one of the things, preaching in Papua New Guinea and walking the bush trail. Now, first of all, I was a preacher, and second of all, a church planner, and third of all, a pilot. But you know, as a preacher, you walk many of miles in the bush of Papua New Guinea, and we say to the natives, you say, where are we going? And we're standing on a high place, and we're looking across the gorge to the other side of the river, and they go, we're going right over there. Well, you can see it right over there, but in order to get over there, you go down in the gorge, and you go across the swinging bridge over the river, and then you go right back up. And, you know, about 6-7 hours later, you got there, and you've lost a lot of weight, and you've been bit up by a bunch of mosquitoes. Now, you know, because you've been under the canopy there. But, you know, God's investment program goes forward by sacrifice. God sacrificed his only begotten son. Jesus sacrificed, and he could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He stayed and he paid. And, you know, we teach the preacher boys in Papua New Guinea, listen, God sacrificed, Jesus sacrificed, the missionary sacrifices, he leaves his mom and his dad, and he leaves America and the paved roads and the air conditioning, and he goes to the jungle where he gets malaria. And people say, oh, Brother Wayne, have you had malaria? Yes, I've had malaria. Have you had typhoid? Yes, I've had typhoid. And Sister Sue has had dengue fever, but she's not dengue. She is still my true love after 51 years. And so, you know, you may see all these things. Sacrifice. God has his investment program goes forward by sacrifice. What about the people here in America that are holding the ropes? Yes, people here, they sacrifice by praying. People here, they sacrifice by paying. They send money to missions. God says, listen, I'm saving you. I'm going to let you go to heaven, and I'm going to cut you in on my investment program. You can invest in eternal souls of Papua New Guineans, and eternal souls of Chinese, and eternal souls of people in Britain, and eternal souls of people in Spain, and eternal souls of people in Portugal, and eternal souls of people in Italy. You're going to invest in eternal souls. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so investing, the Papua New Guineans said, oh, Brother Wayne, we finished 3 years Bible Institute. We thank you. Brother, me thank you no good through. You've been schooling me a little Bible, eh? We want to thank you, Brother Wayne. What a blessing you schooled us in the Bible. I said, listen, tomorrow's graduation. You put on your best clothes and come. We're going to have a graduation ceremony. We set up the circus tent. They came in there, the fellows that were going to graduate. We had about 8 or 9 guys ready to graduate. And so I always put on a button-up shirt, you know, because I don't want to overdress in the jungle. And I never wear a necktie. But then they started getting these bales of secondhand clothes from the preachers in the city. We're giving them suits and ties and neckties. So then I had to start dressing up. And so I went into the tent, and I had my blue suit jacket on and my dress pants, and I preached a little graduation ceremony. And I said, Nestlin, you think you're going to graduate, but you know what? You're just ending one thing and you're getting ready to start another thing. Yes, and God is going to say, this is not Brother Wayne's ministry. This is God's ministry. And you know the Bible now, and God is going to hold you accountable for what you know. One day, Brother Wayne would die. But the gospel, the word of God is not bound. Right. And it's the responsibility of you Bible school students and preacher boys to carry it over the next mountain. Okay.
And so today, I put the bucket of water. I go by with the bucket of water and go down to every one of those black Papua New Guineans that are dressed with a suit jacket and a pair of pants, and many of them had no shoes. And so I got down with the bucket and I washed each one of their feet. And they were crying. I said, you've got a responsibility of accountability to carry the gospel. You have a responsibility as Beartrail Baptist Church to carry the gospel, to pray for the missionary, to pay for the missionary, to help. You're getting in on God's investment program. God says, I want you to go work in my field, and I'm going to pay you. Your benefits are going to be out of this world. You're going to see little souls of Papua New Guineans and souls of people from Spain and Mexico. They're going to meet you in heaven and they're going to say, thank you for giving to missions. I'm a soul that got saved. Thank you for sending us a missionary. Yes. It goes forward by sacrifice and it goes forward by faith. Give by faith. You expect the missionary to go by faith. The missionary expects the people in America to give by faith. And God expects us all to live by faith. And so, let us wrap things up by saying point number four, missions and working in God's field and investing in God's field is investing in others. And so let us close the message today on point number four. Are you investing in others? Are you investing in others? Turn to John chapter number 10 as we close the message today. Let us look at John chapter 10 and the words of Jesus, the first great missionary, and what Jesus had to say. In John chapter 10, notice what he had to say in verse number 14 of John chapter 10. Jesus made this statement, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I what? And I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, and he's speaking to who? He's speaking to the Israelites. He's speaking to his disciples. John chapter 1, he came unto what? His own. Who? Who were his own? The Israelites. And his own received him not. And now he's speaking to some other Israelites and his disciples. And he's saying to his own disciples, oh, and he's saying to those Israelites that he's speaking to, and other sheep I have. I have sheep in Spain. Yeah. You know, the field is the world. And we can say, you know what, the field is the world. That's God's big farm. But in God's big farm, he's got a wheat field, which is yellow Chinese. And he's got a cotton field where there's white folks. And he's got them black beans, yeah, where he's got black folks too. There's all kinds of bean fields. There's all kinds of cotton fields. There's all kinds of wheat fields. And God has all kinds of, what field are you going? Well, I'm going to Papua New Guinea. What's your field in Italy? What is it? Oh, God is God's field. Notice he wants you to be investing in others. And he makes this mention, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I'm going to bring the sheep from America. I'm going to bring the sheep from Spain. I'm going to bring the sheep from China. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And let us, for the sake of time, go to John chapter 4. And let us close things by looking at John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, notice what Jesus says here in verse number 35. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, John chapter 4, verse 35, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He's talking about the harvest of souls. And verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. And he gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Yes, you're investing in the souls of eternal souls. The souls of people in Italy,
the souls of people in Papua New Guinea that are eternal souls. They're eternal souls. And it's an eternal investment. You're not going to lose your money. No, it's just going to add up. Those souls that are saved, looking in your scriptures there at verse number 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. Oh, and by the way, verse 37, and herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. You know what? You wasn't with Brother Wayne in the jungle of Papua New Guinea when I was plowing and preaching hard to a bunch of people that were blocking the road and stealing people's money. But some of those people got saved. You weren't there when I was plowing. You weren't there whenever I was planting the Word of God in people. Not physically you weren't there, but spiritually you could have been there by praying and by paying for the missionary and praying for the missionary. You're there spiritually, but you didn't get the malaria. You didn't deal with the roadblock and the guys pointing the guns at you. You didn't deal with the machete or the axe that hit the side of the truck and cut the truck, and we kept on going. You know what? Safety is of the Lord. It's not. You didn't get through all that stuff, Wayne, because you were macho. You got through all that stuff because safety is of the Lord. That's all. You must understand this. God's letting you in on this investment program, but he's got other sheep he wants you to invest in. He's got other people that are doing the work. Notice verse number 38. And I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. You didn't do the plowing. You didn't do the planting. But you paid for the missionary that was doing the plowing. And you prayed for the missionary that was doing the plowing. And you prayed for the missionary that was doing the planting. You didn't get the malaria. You didn't get the typhoid. You didn't do the plowing. You didn't do the planting. But God says, hey, I'm going to let you in on the picking. One day you're going to see those Papua New Guineans in heaven. They're going to say, thank you for sending us a missionary. I got saved. Notice in the end of verse number 38, I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men. Oh, there it is. I got other sheep. And I got other men. And I want you to invest in these other sheep. And I want you to invest in these other men. And you know what? You invest in these other sheep. And you invest in these other men. And even though you didn't do the plowing. And even though you didn't do the planting of the Word of God. You're getting in on the picking. And you're going to gather the fruit. Notice other men labored. And ye are entered into their labors. Let us close and wrap it up there. Let us look at what Paul had to say to the Macedonian church. We're going to look at these last two verses here. Let us look at Philippi, the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4, quickly. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 in one hand and look at John chapter 15 in the other hand. Philippians chapter 4 in one hand and John chapter 15 in the other hand. John 15 in one hand and Philippians 4 in the other hand. In Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 17, notice what Paul says to the Philippians. He says, well, let us for the sake of getting the right understanding here. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that will abound to your account. Notice the key verse that God used to give me security to go to Papua New Guinea, John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, Jesus said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? And bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should what? And that your fruit should remain. Well, you know what? If it's eternal souls, they're going to remain. They're not going to hell. They're souls that are going to heaven. and you invested in those souls, and those souls got saved, and you have an eternal investment that you'll never lose. You're investing in God's field, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. And so, let me give you a real life illustration. I came back from Papua New Guinea, an elderly lady in Ohio. She said to Sister Sue, what was going on in the month of December about this time? Sister Sue said, I don't know, but I have a journal and I'll bring it tonight for the evening service and I'll let you know. She said, the elderly sister said, that week the Lord kept waking me up and saying, get out of bed and pray for Brother Fair. That night, Sister Sue brought the journal. She said, oh, that was the week Brother Wayne had high fevers and malaria. We had no preacher. He was starting a new church, and he was the main preacher that had to preach to the people. And he was sick all week with malaria. But on Friday night, around 4 a.m., the fever broke. And he was able to get up on Saturday and get refreshed and get a sermon together to preach on Sunday morning. Other men labored. And the old lady was entered into my labor of Papua New Guinea. And praise the Lord, if a young man came Sunday morning, because I couldn't tell you if a man got saved Sunday morning or not, unless we looked in Brother Sue's journal, but if a man got saved that Sunday morning, that little old lady got part of it. That little old sister got part of it because she was told to get out and pray for Brother Wayne, get out and pray for Brother Wayne. And whenever I was able to get up and preach, if the soul got saved. One day when I go to heaven and the Lord says, Wayne, and I go, yes, sir. And he goes, well, before all these Papua New Guineans here, Sister so-and-so, you come up here. Here comes the little old lady from Ohio. And the Lord says, here's a gem for your crown. This boy got saved because you got out and prayed for the missionary. His fever broke. He was able to preach because you prayed. Amen. Say, well, I can't pay. Well, maybe she couldn't pay, but she could pray. And so, it's a harvest. Jeremiah chapter 8, what about you today? Are you here and you unsaved? As we close, remember what Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Are you saved here today? If you're not saved, you need to come and sell your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and get eternal life so that you can be with the rest of us in heaven, Pastor.
Amen. The piano player is coming this morning. While she plays this morning, I wish you would do business with the Lord. I don't know how you could sit here this morning as a